Thank you, Gary. Before we begin, I want you to think back to that song that Sabrina and Gary led us in and feel that love, that joy, that peace. What do we sing at the end of each verse? It returns to me. I give it out and it returns to me. I want you to really feel that this morning. As we continue our series on wholehearted living, today we take a look at the spiritual practice of self-compassion. Now, often when we think about our core value of love, the first thing we think about is sending out love to another person or being that presence of love when a friend is having a crisis. However, today we are going to look at the importance of developing a daily practice of self-compassion. Self-compassion. As the airline stewards say before each flight, put your own oxygen mask on first, right? Before you attempt to help anyone else. As we put our own love mask on, it's a way to empower us, strengthen us, give us faith to be that presence of love, peace, and joy for another person. If we're not loving and compassionate towards ourselves, how can we truly be that authentic vibration of love in this world? If we're putting up that barrier to being compassionate towards ourselves, we're cutting ourselves out. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, wrote that love is the harmonizing power of the universe. If we're cutting off that love to ourselves, it's like we're not allowing ourselves to come into that full vibrational energy of universal love. So, what keeps us from practicing self-compassion? Dr. Brené Brown, author of The Gifts of Imperfection, the book we are using for the fall book study, conducted years of research into things that get in the way of us cultivating a life of courage, compassion, and connection. And one of the things that she found that really gets in the way of self-compassion is perfectionism. Perfectionism. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, hey, Reverend Edna, I know I'm a perfect spiritual being. Yes, we are, right? We are perfect spiritual beings. And I already know that I'm a human, so there are going to be times when I'm not perfect. You know, Reverend Edna, I got over that need to be perfect years ago. This isn't about me. So you can just go on and talk to those other people. Well, Dr. Brown proposes to us that perfectionism actually is on a continuum. So let's see exactly what she has to say about this. And if you already have the book, it's page 58 if you want to go back later. She writes, based on my data, so this is not something she just came up with, this is based on her data, I don't think that some people are perfectionists and others are not. I think perfectionism exists along a continuum. We all have some perfectionistic tendencies. For some, perfectionism may only emerge when we're feeling particularly vulnerable. For others, perfectionism can be compulsive, chronic, and debilitating, similar to an addiction. So Dr. Brown goes on to clarify that perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. It's not the same thing as healthy achievement and growth. It's not self-improvement. What she does say, perfectionism, remember we have this continuum, perfectionism is the belief that if we lived perfect, looked perfect, and act perfect, we can avoid or minimize any pain we might feel about judgment from anyone else, blame, or shame. It's a shield, she says. She goes on, perfectionism is a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels this primary thought. If I looked perfect, live perfectly, and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize those painful feelings that come up within us sometimes about shame, judgment, or blame. We think we're so clever, don't we? To avoid all those feelings, all we have to do is be perfect. What's up? So she goes on to say that perfectionism, at its core, is all about trying to earn approval and acceptance. And most perfectionists were raised being praised for achievement and performance, whether it was grades, manners, rule following, people pleasing, sports, appearance, whatever it was. And somewhere along the line, we started to adopt a belief system that I am what I accomplish and how well I accomplish it. A perfectionist goal, please perform perfect. She also says it's addictive because invariably, as humans, chances are sometime in our life we're going to experience judgment, shame, or blame. And we often believe it's because we weren't perfect enough. But rather than questioning the faulty logic behind perfectionism, we immediately become addictive to getting entrenched in that quest to live, look, and act as if we can do everything just right. Now remember, she says, perfectionism is the barrier, a major barrier to self-compassion. So, when we find ourselves striving for perfection, whether we do it rarely or whether we do it consistently, we can ask ourselves in that moment, why? Why is perfection so important to me in this moment? Now, the answer may have great justification if we're working on a medical procedure or a drug formula where we're talking about life and death. Or our answer may be that we need to please perform perfect to fill an inner need within us. In those moments when we're striving for that perfection, we can ask ourselves, whose approval and acceptance am I trying to earn in this moment? Or is my personal sense of worthiness tied to the outcome of whatever I'm working on? So remember, whether this comes up just a few times in our consciousness or whether we're constantly trying to perfect, we can ask ourselves these questions. So today we're going to do something a little bit different with our meditation practice. We're actually going to have 3 periods of meditation. And to bring us into our first time in meditation, I invite Sabrina to come forward. She's going to lead us all in singing "There Is Only Love." The words are in your bulletin.
There is only love. There is only.
couple gentle breaths and allow ourselves to relax even further into our chairs. I am a perfect spiritual being, having a wonderful journey on this earth. I am willing to release the need to be perfect on that journey. I am willing to cut the ties that tether my self-worth to my achievements. And I breathe. Right here, right now, I am enough. And we breathe. Breathing in and breathing out from the heart. We just send that out, love, just to ourselves. I am enough. So I invite you to bring your awareness back to this place. Just feeling that love energy keep filling you up. I am enough. I am all that's needed in this moment. Feels lovely in here, doesn't it? I am enough. All right. So as we come back to some thoughts, more thoughts about self-compassion, renowned researcher and professor at University of Texas at Austin, Dr. Kristen Neff, runs the Self-Compassion Research Lab, where she studies how we develop and practice self-compassion. Doesn't that just sound like the coolest job in the world? To get to study how we develop self-compassion. According to Dr. Neff, self-compassion has three components: self-kindness, mindfulness, and common humanity. If you want to know more about Dr. Neff, her website is www.self-compassion.org. Really easy to find out there. All right, so let's take a look at self-kindness. So self-compassion entails being warm and understanding towards ourselves whenever we feel like we're suffering or whenever we have the perception that we failed at something or feel inadequate. So rather than ignoring those feelings, what Dr. Neff says is just acknowledge them. Because sometimes we just try to ignore them. Or, which he says, make sure we're not beating ourselves up with self-criticism when those feelings come up. She says self-compassionate people, she's found, recognize that being imperfect, failing to meet someone's standards, and experiencing life's difficulties is frankly inevitable, right? We've all had those challenges. We've all fallen short of someone's expectations, sometimes even ourselves. So it's just inevitable. So, and compassionate people tend to be gentle with themselves when confronted with painful experiences, rather than getting angry that life has dealt them this challenge. Don't our challenges help us grow? There can be blessings sometimes when exactly what we wanted didn't happen. So can we each remember now a recent time when we didn't get exactly what we wanted or didn't achieve a personal level of expectation? Can you think of one? So we get to ask ourselves, did we respond with frustration and self-criticism? Or did we respond with sympathy and kindness towards ourselves? So as we go through this next week, let's start to recognize when those times come up, when something we feel like didn't happen or when we're feeling like we didn't do our best. Remember to be kind to ourselves. Dr. Barbara Markway, a psychologist and blogger at Psychology Today, and she has her own blog site, the selfcompassionproject.com, has these simple techniques to offer us to help us develop this daily practice of self-compassion. One technique she says she uses daily is just a gentle touch on her skin, maybe touching her forearm with her other hand. She says the touch actually releases oxytocin and sets off a calming response in the body. She said at work she does it discreetly, but when she's home, she just wraps her hands around herself and gives herself a great big hug. So as we're in this space of love, I invite you, try that. Just see what happens when you gently rub your forearm. Just let yourself feel that touch. Or if you're brave enough to give yourself a great big hug, because you are wonderful. All right, then her second technique is she often combines that practice with a mantra. So a mantra that we might have is, I am enough. In this moment, I am perfectly enough. I am enough. Her mantra is, this is a moment of suffering. Suffering is part of my human life. May I be kind to myself and give myself what I need. May I be kind to myself and give myself what I need. Her third technique is she says she does a lot of mindfulness practice. So she never used to take breaks all day long. It was work, work, work. And now she just gets up, gets away from whatever she's doing, goes outside, takes that time to renew herself and allow herself just to breathe in the beauty of this earth. Just because you're worth it. You're worth it to take that time for yourself. So Dr. Markway's actually third recommendation takes us into the next element of self-compassion, and that was mindfulness. So mindfulness is seeing things just as they are. No more, no less. It's not making a drama out of a suffering we're going through, and it's not ignoring those feelings either. It's just being mindful of what's coming up within us. Dr. Christopher Germer, a clinical psychologist in Massachusetts specializing in mindfulness, believes that mindful self-compassion is actually the foundation of emotional healing. The mindfulness part is just being aware, being aware in the present moment of what we're struggling with, whether it's feelings of inadequacy, confusion, any form of stress. And the self-compassion part is responding with kindness and understanding. So holding those difficult emotions, holding ourselves all, and sending out, just filling that space with goodwill. Not judging it, just letting it be in the moment, letting that be our teacher. So for our second meditation, Sabrina, if you would come back up. And we are just going to sing the first verse now of There Is Only Love. Just feel that love energy from your crown chakra to your toes. Just be in that heart space. This is all for you. You are worthy of all this love. For you are that channel of love in this world. It begins with you, loving yourself. Just feel that vibration of love. Not only filling your body, but allow it, feel it in the etheric body, which is about 1/4 inch to 2 inches beyond your physical body. Just allow all that love to fill up that space. It is all for you. So feeling all that love within you and beyond you, I invite you to bring your awareness back. Breathe. So we move on to the third element of self-compassion, which is common humanity. Compassion literally means to suffer with, which implies a basic mutuality in the experience of suffering. So when we're in touch with our common humanity, we remember that, you know, these feelings that come up within us about inadequacy or disappointment or fear, guess what? We all have them. And sometimes haven't those feelings come up when we've just wanted to go into seclusion? And it's like, this is only happening to me. But what Dr. Neff invites us to know is that when we want to practice self-compassion, remember that what we're going through is common to all of humanity. And in knowing that common exchange, that common occurrence, that will help us be kinder and more compassionate to ourselves. So we have three ways to practice self-compassion. Self-kindness, just taking that extra time to remember to first be kind and filled with love towards ourselves. Mindfulness, being aware that as those other emotions come up, just be with them and send good out to you and whatever is going on. And common humanity, remember that's whatever's going on within us, it certainly has happened for other human beings. And let that bring kindness to ourselves. So as we go into our final time of meditation this morning, we'll do a loving kindness meditation, which begins first with self-compassion. So Sabrina, if you would lead us in our final time of singing that first verse again. There is only love.
In this moment, in this place,
energy of love flowing from our crown chakra down through our toes, filling it out to our etheric body. I invite you to send loving kindness to yourself. Just really love yourself in this moment. And invite you to hear these words in your heart. I love myself. May I be free from anger. May I be free from sadness. May I be free from pain. May I be free from all suffering. May I be healthy and strong. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I know the joy of generosity and love. May I be happy. May I be at peace. And now in this place of love, we send this out to our family. May they be free from difficulties. May they be free from pain and sadness. May they be well and happy. May they be at peace. And for all beings on the planet, may they be free from pain, grief, and suffering. May they be happy. May they be at peace. In this beautiful place and energy of love, we now put forth all the names on our hearts today of those that are experiencing challenges. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be at peace. I invite you to bring your awareness back to this sanctuary, filled with your love lights shining out there, as Gary's going to lead us into a special Daniel Namot song.